To turn it over to Brother John, whatever the Lord, thank you, man, for whatever the Lord has laid on his heart to do, amen, as the Holy Spirit leads. Let's grab our hymnals for our final hymn prior to John's coming. Let's open up to hymn 62. Once again, we're singing about the cross. yes, again, Sir Isaac Watts. And we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth, people. Let's stand.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he be more than saved? Such a worm as I. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my eyesight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for Christ that I have done? He rode down on that tree. Amazing, fitting grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where my purpose saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Four.
But a drop of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. It's all at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Yes! Oh, glory! I think they mean it. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. Oh, what a blessing. We received our sight. We can see spiritually. 2020, isn't that great? We don't need spiritual glasses. We have the Holy Spirit, something far greater. You know, folks, I just had a thought as we were singing that song. There's so many Christians today that believe the church is going through the tribulation period. And it's as if they just don't rightly divide the word. And I always say to them, you know, have fun, but I'm going to be up dancing on streets of gold during the tribulation period, because we're going to be raptured out before all that takes place. That's good news. That's the blessed hope. Listen, folks, if the rapture wasn't until the end of the tribulation period, every man would know the date and hour.
Right.
Once the peace treaty signed. The Bible would be wrong, you see? You got to think these things through. But praise the Lord that we are indeed going up in rapture. That's going to be great. And some of them are going to go in if they don't want to. Blow my doctrine out of the water, Lord, you know? Well, praise the Lord. Brother John, you come and do as the Lord has led. We're so thankful for John. He can introduce his family. And if you guys want to sing, preach, dance, whatever, We're glad that you're here. And you're amongst friends, brother. We love you.
I'm just in a church in Sefner, Florida, which is down around Tampa. The pastor says, do you believe that the tribulation is before the rapture or after the rapture, or that there's not going to be any tribulation? And I said, really, doesn't matter what I believe. When he comes, we'll go, right? No matter what you believe. So one day he's going to blow the trumpet. We're going to leave. I think we're going to sing first this morning. The Lord's put a message on my heart this morning about grace. And I just got back from Berlin, New Hampshire, which is almost into Canada. It's on the other side of Mount Washington. And the view from the parking lot of the federal prison up there is of the big valley and then Mount Washington in the distance. And it was gorgeous. But first time in this federal facility up there, we just opened it. And the turnout was, there's an Anglican priest who is the chaplain there. And the Anglican priest, after the first night, said, wow, I have never seen the men respond like this. and so we had a good time there at the federal facility. We didn't have plans to go into the work camp, which there's about 90 men in the work camp. But after the first night, the priest says, you've got to go to the work camp. So he said, let me figure out, let's see where we can fit it in up there. And so he got on the phone, and we got into the work camp, and 11 men turned out for the first service. Out of 90 men, that's more than 10%. Anything more than 10% is good. Mm. That's great. So and we had one say, and so that was good. Before that, we went to spend a couple of days in the state prison up there, and I had preached up there last year when I was here, and we had a good time there. Before that, we were in Rhode Island, and we did, we did 5 days in Rhode Island, and got to go to the juvenile facility there, and preached three times, about the girls, the boys, and then we got to go back and do visitation from pod to pod. And when we preached to the boys, we had 16 boys in there, and they're unruly. I mean, they're talking, they're swearing, they're cussing, and they won't shut up. And they're not bothering me. But the guy that's with me, he's just getting madder and madder. You guys aren't respecting. And I said, look, you guys don't bother me. I said, I have preached to guys way worse than you. I said, you can sit there and cuss on me. I said, because I'm not here for me. And I just kept getting closer and closer to him. I'm here for God. And I said, he knows your heart. I said, he controls your heartbeat. I said, he can stop it like that. And I said, bow your heads. And I said, who wants to know more about Jesus? And some of them raised their hands. I said, okay, everybody who didn't raise your hands, you can hit the door. And some of them left. So then I preached a little bit longer, and they're still being unruly. And so I bow your head. And so, and raise your hands. And the ones that didn't, out the door. I ended up with one young man. And he's 18 and a half, he said. But when he turns 19, he gets to leave. Go to the adult facility. And he said, you know what? He said, I don't want to go over there. He said, I don't want to continue this life. He said, I don't want. And he just dropped off in my hands, just fruit on the vine, ready to be saved. Mm. And the superintendent asked me, he said, well, how many did you ask? I said, one. He said, who was it? So I gave him his name. He says, he's the ringleader. He is the baddest of the bad. He's the guy that's been in here the longest. And he's going to the adult facility from here. And he said he's been in trouble since he was 12 years old. He has a record. He's done everything except murder. He said he's not killed anybody yet. But he said if he got saved, it's going to change this pod. It's going to change the whole pod over there. And I said, well, yeah, he said he's been in trouble a little bit. And he said, yeah, a little bit. He said, you don't. That's incredible. I want to go talk to him. And he went down and left and went down and talked to that guy right down there. And he said, that's incredible. But we went over to the intake facility. We preached to a little over 300 men over there. And 75 made a professional effect. Oh. 73 of those came back for the discipleship class the next day. I took 30 of the men in my class and spent an hour and a half going through the plan of salvation, assurance, and what next, and what does witnessing mean, and what is faith, and just going through about an hour and a half with them. And then left them some things. They signed up for discipleship class, which we do in the mail, and they book by book through the Bible, some 35,000 questions when they finish. And they attract the progress of men who finish the course. And recidivism, big word, means they keep going back, keep going back to prison. Recidivism rate is 92% in the United States. That's what they figure. Okay, so they figure the guys who finish the discipleship course, recidivism, 8%.
Wow.
Completely the opposite. Once they finish the course, they get rooted and grounded. They know enough in their Bible to not go back and do the same garbage again. Mm-hmm. Not go back and get with the same friends again. Because you talk to them, and over and over again, they'll tell you, as you witness, you talk to them, they'll tell you, I just keep ending up in the same place doing the same thing, and mm-hmm. I don't understand it. And the discipleship plan, the discipleship program works.
Mm-hmm.
Let's sing. I was saying the shows. Let's sing that first.
Come on.
We got here. When did it snow? When did it snow? We got here right here during the snow again. We got 7 inches. I was in Rhode Island. We got 7 inches down there one day, and 4 inches another day. And it turned into slush, and it got nasty, and then we got here, and it one or two more times snowed, and then it quit snowing here. But I was in Berlin, and in Berlin it was snowing when I left, and then it turned to rain, and then but it's warm up there today, so we had a good time. Let's see, you want to go?
When the world is crumbling round you, and everything goes wrong, and it seems like there's no use to carry on, just remember Jesus loves you and cares for his own. So trust in him when hope is almost gone. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the touch of his hand. When Satan comes to tempt you and tries to make you doubt, the Lord is near to hold you by the hand. With loving arms around you, he'll gently lead you out. He'll strengthen you, he'll give you grace to stand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the touch of his hand.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Uh-oh.
You mind?
Without sin, we don't need grace. You agree? If there were no sin, we wouldn't need grace. So when we forget where we came from, when we forget the condition we were in when He found us, then grace means little or nothing. When we forget that, then our daily walk, we get to the place where... you know what? I really wasn't that bad. And grace means little or nothing to us. When we remember, when we live at the cross, when we remember where we came from and what condition we were in, then grace means so much more. What is grace? Grace is what Christ did. Okay. What God the Father sent His Son to do for us. That's what grace is. Do we deserve grace? Well, no. If we, when you start saying wages or merit or I earned it, you negate grace altogether. Because then we start boasting. Look how good I am. I deserve this. Let me in. I'm here to take my place that I earned here in heaven. Grace. I didn't deserve it. In fact, I deserve the opposite. You can't get grace until you need it. And that's the trouble we find in prison. When we start preaching to prisoners is until they see themselves as lost, they can't get saved. See, grace and salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And not ourselves. Amen. It's the gift of God. Well, a gift... once you begin to, I earned this, once you begin, it's not a gift any longer. Now it's wages. And we did earn something. We did earn something, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life.
I started thinking about grace the other day. And I started salvation. Christ was a substitute for us. We call it salvation. Christ was an atonement for us. We call it salvation because we get saved from not just from the flames, but we get saved to a life of being spirit controlled, being able to walk with Him, to not being alone. We're in Matthew, it talks about a yoke and bearing His yoke, wearing His yoke, being yoked with Him. We're either yoked with Satan or we're yoked with God. And that's a whole other story about how the yoke fits and about how long it takes to get into the yoke. But we're tethered first, and we learn how to walk with Him. How that and grace is what makes that easy. See, in the Old Testament they had law. And law is if it's the opposite of anything, law is the opposite of grace. Law is cold and hard, and law means punishment. And law means do. And grace says done. Salvation is offered to all, and it's sufficient for all. It's suitable for all. It's a solution for all. A solution fixes. A solution corrects. A solution is proof, positive. I don't know if any of you have been in the military, but in the military, when there is a target to be hit, there is a solution that the computer spits out to make this shell hit that target. Dead on. It's not a guess. I mean, you can guess, and a gunner that's good can guess and pretty much hit. But when you have a solution, then this shell will hit that target. And salvation is a solution for our sinful life. You say, once I got saved, I didn't quit sinning. That's correct. Your flesh did not quit sinning. But there's a part of me that will always be perfect. There's a part of me that will always be holy. Because this part is the part that will go to heaven. And sin can't enter heaven. This part will not enter heaven.
Amen.
It will die and go to dust. But there's a part of me that will go to heaven. And it will be sinless. I am holy. As He is holy. Because He's in me. And I'm in Him. When Jesus goes before the Father, He doesn't see Jesus. He sees me. That's how I go to the Father in Jesus. He carries me there. When I come before you, you don't see Jesus. You see me. But you see Jesus through me. Because He lives in me. I go to the Father through Jesus. He comes to you through me. We are what the world sees. We're all the church the world is going to see. We're all the God that the world's ever going to see. Us. When you start saying it, instead of just it's just some mystical. When you say it, and you put it into words, then I never thought of it that way. You're thinking of a question and then when you finally say it, you say it out loud and boy, that sounds stupid. I'm glad I didn't ask somebody that. When you say it, when you put it out loud, when you actually put it into words, we are the only God this world will see. So how are they going to get to heaven unless we tell them? Unless we show them. Unless our walk, and you say, well, how do you? Grace.
Amen.
When we recognize He did for us and the condition we were in when He found us, then we don't have our nose in the air. We're not demanding our rights. We're servants. We're servants. You say, well, debt and grace don't go together. Oh, it's not in that order, doesn't it? But grace and then debt, yeah. Because I feel a debtor when I understand what He did for me. I feel a debtor. I don't serve because I'm not here this morning to preach because you can do something for me. I'm here to preach this morning because He did something for me.
Mm.
And I want to share it. Yeah. I enjoy preaching because of what He did for me.
Yes.
What He does for me every day. His mercies are... grace is better than mercy. You say, well, wait a minute. Mercy and grace, they do. But grace is better than mercy. Grace is how I got saved. I like mercy. I like mercy. There's a whole chapter that Jed's memorizing right now, Psalm 136. The first couple of verses, can you quote them?
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He's good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endures forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters. It's either above the room. The waters, for His mercy endureth forever.
His mercy endureth forever and ever and ever and ever. And it's new every day, and there's mercy enough for everyone. It's not a limited amount, but grace is better than mercy. Mm. Mercy means I earned it, and I'm not getting everything. We don't see God's full wrath. God doesn't pour His wrath out upon us like He did Jesus. Jesus took the entire blunt, the entire load of wrath from God, all on Himself. Look in Psalm. I'm reminded of a verse in Psalms. Psalms 40. Psalms 40. Let's see if I can find what verse. It's not at the beginning of the chapter. It's on down a ways. Psalm 40. Let's see. Psalm 40. Oh, I'm in Job 40. No wonder I can't find it. It talks about, David talks about his iniquity and how much. Let's see. So there's 37, verse 40. Verse 12. Now let's do a verse 11. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. I've got so many... Lord, I am so full of sin. I can't even hold my head up. In fact, I find a comfortable place on the ground in front of You, Lord, on my face, because my iniquities are so heavy. They're more than the hairs of my head. Lord, I'm so dirty. But mercy? I don't get what I've earned. I don't get the full... Yeah, our sin does cost. Our sin costs not us, but our families. Our sin costs anybody who loves us. Our sin costs. But David said, His mercy, even when my sins are more than the hairs of my head, and His mercy endureth forever.
Mm.
But grace is greater than that. Grace says, no. Grace says, no, I forgive you. No, I want to pay for that for you. And Jesus took not only my sin that is so weighty that I can only lay on my face in front of Him, not just my sin, but your sin and your sin and your... Every person in the world that will ever live, all at once, He took all of that load on Himself at one time. No wonder sweat popped out of His face like blood. And
ran down into his beard and onto the ground. No wonder he sweat great drops of blood. That load that he took that one day, all at once, I can barely contain, I can barely carry my own sin. He carried the sin of all of us. That's grace. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He waited. He waited patiently for the Lord. Sometimes we're in a place of waiting. Sometimes we're, it doesn't mean we're not doing anything, but sometimes we're waiting for the Lord's time, for the right thing to happen. The Lord to bring everything together just right for us. And if we wait on Him, that He shows up. When we, He's fully agreeable that you can run out in front of Him. He's fine. Go ahead, run out in front. When it comes time, then you'll see your folly. You can run out ahead of Him. You can lag behind Him. Lord's trying to lead. No, I don't want to go there. No, that's too painful. I heard, I think it was a letter that you read this morning about cancer and how cancer was a blessing. When we see everything in our life is controlled by the Lord, because we get saved in grace. A lot of times we want to, okay, I got saved by grace, but I need works to stay saved. I need works to my living. I've got to earn my way to heaven. So I've got to do. And we forget the grace that we were saved in. You say, well, that's dangerous preaching. Preacher, that means we get saved and we don't have to do anything. And I had a preacher one time tell me, you're just a grace preacher. And he meant it in a derogatory fashion. And I said, you're right, I am. I certainly am. I said, do you know why I serve? Because of grace.
Amen.
I said, and your people in your church, they will serve if they really understand grace. It's not a license for sin. It's not a license to do nothing. In fact, it's what drives me. Because what he did for me, because I have a faith. Faith is when God reveals himself to us a little by little by little. Our faith grows little by little as he reveals a part of himself. In the Old Testament, Moses wanted to see God, and God said, no, you can't see me. If you see me, you'll die. Why do you think that is? Because he's so holy and we're so sinful. If we saw all of him at once, we would see all of ourselves at once. And we can't take that. God says you can't take that. But that's what faith is. He reveals himself to us a bit at a time. And as he reveals himself to us, then we begin to put our trust and our daily thought, everything that we have, we're willing to, Lord, this is, you gave it to me anyway. It's all yours. And my time and my thoughts and my everything that I do about you. Even when I go to work and I'm doing a job that doesn't even require my thoughts, it's still about you for your glory. Because my employer doesn't see anything but what I do. He can't hear the words I say. They don't mean anything to him. What means something is the work that I do, the way I do it, the way I walk. A pastor once told me that, brother, your walk is so loud I can't hear what you're saying. If you don't clean up your walk, I'm never going to hear what you're saying. And he's right. We used to work in a children's home in Florida. We had I had 31 boys in my dorm and 160-acre working farm. And our plan for them when they came in was to teach them to work. And a 5-acre garden
it seemed like hundreds of miles of fence line to build, and we baled the hay, and we slopped the pigs, and we fed the chickens, and collected the eggs, and we dressed the hogs, and we broke horses, and we had cattle, and in the midst of all that, continually remember that we're Christians and that we're doing what we're doing together for the Lord. I'm reminded of a story, and I won't take the time to do the demonstration, but five guys, and each one of them are firemen. And this guy has a job as a cook, and in the firehouse, this guy has a job to wash clothes, and this guy has a job to wash the trucks, and this guy has a job for maintenance, and every one of them are firemen. But they each have jobs that don't have anything to do with fire. But their job is still saving lives. Mm-hmm. We each have jobs. Mm-hmm. I'm a missionary, a preacher, mm-hmm. Truck driver, a welder, pipe fitter, a plumber. But we're also Christians. Mm-hmm. And is your goal driving a truck? Is that your goal? Or is that something you do while you're being a Christian? We all have jobs, and we all have to fulfill those jobs, and we all have to, and it's not about fighting the fire. But when the bell rings, then all attention goes to the fire. As we walk, we have our own jobs. But when the bell rings, get out the Bible, share your testimony, and look for the fire. Look for the fire, because they're there. Those opportunities are in front of us all the time, and we miss them. But you say, well, what has it got to do with grace? Grace is why this is like this. Without this, without grace, then none of this is possible. I'm on my way to hell. By the way, I shouldn't have been here this morning. I had another appointment. I was supposed to be in hell this morning. Every bone in my body broken and burned. But grace.
Amen.
But grace. Grace is better than mercy. There are literally hundreds of verses in the Bible. If you open a concordance and look up grace, there are mercy. There are hundreds of verses in the Bible about mercy. Isaiah boldly proclaims, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all." John cried, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And in John, I believe it's John 8:32. Paul said, "He loved me and gave himself for me." Peter said, "He bore our sins in his own body on the tree." The Apostle John said, "He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Grace excludes boasting. "I did all the sinning and he did all the saving." Grace is better than law. Law says do, grace says done. Law says do and you can earn life. Grace says you have life, now do. The law shows us our imperfections. The law is a cruel taskmaster, and is all about showing us our imperfections. But grace is about, I know about your imperfections, and I love you anyway. The law is cold and hard and immovable. And grace says, serve the best you can. I remember that you're clay. I remember that you're dust. I remember because I made you. Do the best you can do, and I'll make up the rest. Because of grace, law has no power. But the law was good. The law is good. It shows us how short we are. But grace is better. Wonder of wonders, what a vast
surprise? Could there a bigger wonder be? That he that made the star-filled sky once hanged and bled, then died for me. Amazing, what startling sacrifice, confounding our deepest thought. Stupendous, staggering purchase price. What redemption has for all been bought. Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. One of my favorite Bible verses is Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore, well, you got to go back and see what therefore is talking about. You go back to the last chapter, and it talks about the struggle of two natures. There is therefore now no condemnation. Once I hung my head in shame, but now I lift my head not in pride, but in grace. I'm not condemned anymore.
Amen.
I never will be again. I was condemned. Many of the men that I preach to, they sit in cells. Some of them very small cells, because of their actions. But they sit in cells nonetheless, and we're like that. You see, the purchase price has been made. The sacrifice, the penalty for my sin has been paid. I was in a cell. The bars were real. I was blind and couldn't even see that I was in a cell. And he came by and unlocked the door when he died on the cross.
Amen.
And we still sit in that cell. Until somebody comes by and says, brother, you've been bought out. You can leave any time. Those bars don't hold you. The door's unlocked. Come out because of grace. Come out and live a victorious life. Come out and live in peace. Come out and live in victory. Come out and live for Him because He's done this for you. But even as Christians, we want to go back in there and live in that cell. We want to go back to where we were. The children of Israel did. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They didn't leave Egypt behind them. They took Egypt out in their hearts. And they kept wanting to go back. When we walk with Him, when we understand grace, then we don't want to go back there. That purchase price was too steep. That purchase. When we understand what He did and the price that He paid, who He was and who He became for me, and we don't want to go back and sit in that cell again. We want to serve Him. We want to work for Him. We want to do everything. We want to take as many with us as possible because we see the folly of them sitting in the cell when the doors are unlocked. If you could cure cancer, if you had the answer for the disease that confounds doctors, if you had the answer, would you share it? Or would you keep it? Well, we have the answer for something far more devastating, far more deadly than cancer. We have the answer. And we keep it a secret. We hide it. This is mine. Just me. Just me and mine. We're saved. That's enough. I don't want to tell anybody. Grace is better than mercy. Grace is better than law. Grace is even better than justice. Justice is the only thing that we want for everybody else, but not for us. I don't want justice, but I want him to have justice. And when you preach this in prison, they're like, yeah. I want him to have justice. I want grace. I want mercy. I want to be justified
I don't want justice. Yes, I was guilty. But I didn't agree about the sentence that I should serve. The payment for that. God says, there is no quibbling on the sentence. It is death. And once that debt was settled, then now I have no condemnation because he settled it. So now I should walk in victory. I should walk in newness of life. And I should let my light shine, so that other men may see what he did for me. Mm-hmm. When we hand out tracts, a lot of times I'll tell somebody, read this. It's the best story you'll ever read. It changed my life totally. I am no longer what I was because of this. I think I'm finished. There's a little bit more, but yeah, I think I'm done. Psalm 23:6. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You guys want to come and do Amazing Grace? Oh, you were singing this morning, John Cowper, or William Cowper. William Cowper was John Newton's best friend. William Cowper had an extreme depression on his life all the time. He constantly fought depression. And William Cowper wrote, "There is a fountain," because he wanted to encourage the people, encourage himself and encourage the people in his church. Amazing grace. He said, I can hold my head up again because of grace. Maybe this morning, I don't have an invitation. Maybe this morning, you want to talk to God. You want to make a chair and altar and talk to Him. This morning, you can thank Him for grace. And maybe today is the day that you want to begin. This is the day I want to answer that call service in my life. Today is the day that I want to stop hoarding and start sharing. Maybe you want to write in the front of your Bible, this is the day I got saved, but this is the day I'm here to serve.
What a tremendous message. Grace, that's what it's all about. Wow. Brother, right on. Thank you so much for doing what the Lord told you to do this morning. Folks, we're going to take another offering this morning for the Wilsons. And the Lord understands if you're unable to give in this offering, because there was no warning ahead of time that Brother Wilson was coming. But if you can, what I'm going to do is leave the offering plate right here. And we want to be a blessing to them as much as we can. Well, praise the Lord, folks. I think we have time to sing one in closing. Just prior to dismissing, let's grab our hymnals again. And we'll stand. And be sure to greet. Yes, new prayer cards. We love this, dear family. We'll stand and we'll open up to hymn number 270 for our final hymn this morning. Aren't you glad that Jesus still saves? Oh, boy. What a blessing to know that and to share that with others. And how we need His grace day in, day out. 270, and we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth, folks. He sure does. Oh, boy, I'm so glad He saved me. Amen? Amen. What a blessing. Brother John, one thing I really notice about John, he's full of the love of Christ. Amen? And that's why I have complete confidence that the Lord is going to reap a great harvest through this man and his family in the prisons of New England. Captive audiences who need Jesus Christ desperately. And what a blessing. And he may gain some connections for the twins. You know, the twins have had difficulty getting into the ladies' penitentiaries. Of course, they got in over here in Goffstown. But that would be a blessing, brother, if you can get some openings for them as well. One other thing I wanted to say. Your teenage son has got such a voice, huh? Boy, can that kid sing. Yeah, we noticed, brother. Even over the rest of your family. Yeah, he's got a wonderful voice. Someday he'll be famous. In heaven. Well, what a blessing today. We had a great time in the Lord. And what an encouragement to us. Amen. What we're going to do is, instead of praying to dismiss, we're going to form a prayer circle. And I'm going to ask Brother John to lead us in a prayer of just that the Lord would restore and regroup us and regather
and bring those who he wants here. Amen? Because you know we're in a transition time right now. We just need to stay faithful. But I know that God's timing was perfect on bringing John Wilson this morning and his family. I feel greatly encouraged. I really do. Amen? God is good, and he's going to take care of us. So let's, at this time, we'll kill the sound.